Do we have sound? We would like to welcome you to our school board meeting tonight. It is November 16th, 2016. We are especially glad to welcome our scout troop that is here, and also we have other students who are here with us tonight. We will begin our meeting with, I need to say, first the board went to a school visit to Wilton Elementary today at 12:30. Then we had a walkthrough of Logan High School construction at 3 o'clock. We're now in our regular meeting, and for our opening ceremony, we have Scout Troop 392, and they will be presenting the colors and leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And their scout master, or leader, is one of our great employees, Paul Guyman. I would call him Daryl. Paul Guyman. We have a Daryl Guyman also. And he has his troop here. So, Mr. Guyman.
Color guard attention. May the audience please rise. Color guard forward march.
Pull your chair up. I need to go behind you.
A proper hand salute. Please repeat the Pledge of Allegiance with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Color guard dismissed. And the audience may be seated.
Thank you, Scout Troop 392. We appreciate you being here. For anyone who hasn't been to a school board meeting before, school board members are elected by the communities, and then I know most of you are in Cache County School District. In your area, they're elected by, you have the big county, and then they're elected by precincts, as are we in Logan. And there was just an election, and you had four of your board members reelected. And it's really one of the closest kinds of government to the people. We make decisions about how much money will go to classrooms and to teachers and what policies are that affect students every day. And so it's one of the closest forms of government to the people. And so we understand if you have other things to do tonight, but we also know that attending our meeting can count as credit for a lot of your citizenship merit badges, as well as the communications merit badge. I used to be a merit badge counselor for that. So we appreciate you being here tonight. Our first item of business is recognitions. We are going to recognize the Logan High School girls soccer team, who were our region champs and also took second place in state. If we could have Principal Ault, as well as Coach Rasmussen and his coaching staff and team who are here, to come up. And if you, since there are that many, why don't you be over there so everybody, we can see you as well as they can, if that works. Yeah, Coach, if you want to tell us about this team, the things they accomplished, and why they are so great.
As was said, this was my second year in charge. Last year, we lost the region championship in the last game of the regular season to Juan Diego. It was a very close match. This year, we were able to get some revenge, and we beat them on their home field, as well as outright won the region title. we eventually did lose to them at Rio Tinto, but this was, we went back-to-back years going there, so that's definitely something to be proud about. The girls are just fantastic. They're super hard workers. They're all committed to the same goal, and I think that's why we've had so much success is I mean, when you have 35 people united for one goal and one purpose, great things happen. I'd like to apologize. We don't have that many girls out. We have musical practice at the high school and basketball practice and other soccer practices for their club. So I would like to say something. We actually have the part of the Lopez Legion. We have Carly and Whitney. We also have one of our academic all-states, Lindsay Jensen, and Megan Christensen is with us as well as my assistant Haley.
We did not know who would be here tonight, so I have a real stack of, and we'll see if those of you who are here in the top pile, and if so, we won't read through the entire pile, but we have a certificate for each of the young women who were on your soccer team, because we know that even if they don't get to play varsity, they make a contribution to your team, and sometimes the people you practice against are the ones who really get a workout and make such a difference. So first of all, the Logan City Board of Education honors the Logan High School soccer team as region champs and second state, and we present the certificate to Coach Sven Rasmussen, and we recognize and thank you for your talent and your service and your dedication to our students. So thank you, Coach. And then we have Assistant Coach Haley, I knew whatever it was, I'd say it wrong, Haley Tracy, and we appreciate you being here. And then our other coaches we want to recognize is we have Assistant Coach Alex Arazo, and then we have a coach I know well, Coach Taylor Anderson. And so if you will present those to them as well. And then I'll do my small pile, and we'll see if we get all of you. Samantha Aguilar, I don't believe, is here tonight. Zoe Clark. Abby Craig. If you want to look through this pile and tell me anybody who's in there. We asked who would be coming, and it was not known. So, and I can't get those two apart. Well, you get Lindsay Jensen is here. Lindsay. Demi Lopez. Not here. Will you accept it? Sister, will you accept it for her?
Thank you for her.
Megan Christensen. Thank you, Megan. Nicole Nye. And I'm going to hand all of these to you. Okay. We have Whitney Lopez here. And are you a senior? You're a freshman. Oh, so we have that part of the Lopez team.
Yeah.
To look forward to, and Carly Lopez. And you're a junior, so great. We have some great future. And we have a lot of other wonderful soccer players, and please give them their certificates and thank them for representing Logan City School District so well. Thank you.
They're spectacular.
Thank you. Thank you. Good job. You guys are so awesome.
Don't trip on that.
You guys are so awesome.
Thank you.
I don't know. I think.
Board member Christy Cooley is working on election results still, and she will be here if at all possible, as soon as possible. Do we have anyone who signed up for public comment? This is the time at board meeting when anybody who wants to come and talk to the board about issues, as long as they don't come and talk about specific personnel issues, they can come and have 3 minutes to talk to us and say what they'd like to say. And we appreciate it when people do come. Our next item of business is our consent calendar, which has minutes dated October 25th, 2016, and extra pay for extra services for licensed personnel.
I move that we accept the consent calendar as is.
Okay, there's been a motion to accept the consent calendar. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of accepting the consent calendar, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Our first presentation tonight is a review of our digital teaching and learning grant, and our presenter on that is our educational and technical services director, David Long. He said he could go 3 hours if we wanted him to. We said no.
While Dave is getting set up, board members, and we'll share this with the patrons, of course, as we go through, one thing that I hope that this does illustrate is the thought and time and energy that went into creating this grant proposal. This is as you've seen, if you've looked through the presentation so far, this is an extensive process and covers a lot of information really relating to the foundations of 21st century learning and the use of digital technology in the classroom for now, and really the plan is for years to come. As we've stated before, one of the big reasons why we chose to take this on was to make sure our district is eligible for additional technology funding that is provided by the state in the future, where this was a requirement that was set by them. So you'll see there's a lot of detail in here. There's quite a bit of information, and I appreciate Dave for the time that he put into leading this, but also just the individual time that he put in talking to the state, making revisions, running those past people at the state board again to make sure they were clear. So with that, we'll turn the time to him.
Okay. This grant is the culmination of about a six-year process with the state. And part of that process was the Smart Schools Program grant that we applied for a few years ago and got for Logan High School. And I will go through what you're looking at on your board packet in just a moment. And just to help the audience understand, one section of this grant is about 62 pages. And there's 12 sections to the grant. So it's a very, very extensive process. There's been a lot of legislation over the past 6 years. This grant is specifically found under House Bill 277 in the state legislature. It's titled the Digital Teaching and Learning Grant. It's been assigned to the State Board of Education and UEN, which is now UETN, Utah Education and Telehealth Network, for advising and reviewing of the plans. UEN has its own information page on this. We participated as a school district 2 years ago and again last year in the development of the Utah State Master Plan for Technology called Essential Elements for Technology-Powered Learning. That's one of the documents referenced in the grant. That document is as big as the grant itself. A lot went into that. That took the planning of every technology director around the state, as well as a lot of other secondary level, post-secondary level, college university folks, and private companies advising us. So that plan's out there, and you can see what the state plan for technology is. Another thing that we participated in last year was the state technology inventory. This was a three-month process in actually completing the work for the inventory. It was years of trying to find ways to do inventories, and a big part of a state effort over 6 months setting up for that three-month review of what was in our school districts. We participated in that last November and December, and the report for the whole state technology inventory came out last January. Then we have things coming out now, like the student privacy amendments. That is a requirement. We have meetings on December 1st of this year to find out what's required to keep our student data private and to take care of those needs. Teresa will be going down to that, as well as Jolene. It involves the state assessments as well as the technical side of that, and we're looking into how much support we need to give them to make sure we're securing student information the way that it's required. So you can see this is part of a great big set of things. It's not just something we wrote for Logan City School District. So in the grant, I'm just going to quickly go through the sections, and then if we have questions, we'll take those as we go. The Digital Teaching and Learning Grant Section 1 was entirely the readiness assessment. The readiness assessment was a six-week process with a committee that met in here. We had board members participating, as well as teacher representatives, parent representatives, community representatives, and administration from around all levels around the district. In that six-week process, we completed that future-ready assessment, which produced a 62-page report that I mentioned earlier. That qualified us to be able to apply for the grant. That's what that six-week effort went into. Then the inventory we already had because we participated last year, so I simply updated our numbers on our inventory and resubmitted it in the format that they have. So all of Section 2 is the inventory piece. Section 3, the learning objectives, they wanted us to put the goals of the district because you did a flagship plan with the superintendent last year, and because we outlined that whole process, I had a Section 3 for this program, so it ties into our district programs as well. Section 4, the school level outcomes, almost entirely comes out of the curriculum department. So the work that we've done with SLOs, the work that we've done with PLCs, all the work that's been coming out of our professional learning efforts and our goal setting for how we want to improve student scores is summarized in Section 4 of this grant. So that was a district piece. And you can see that's broken down into the activities, the timelines, roles and responsibilities, and finally a communication plan. Because we have things in place like ParentLink, because we've gone to the effort of hiring a webmaster, because we're updating and trying to communicate with our community in ways that we haven't ever done before, we have a communication plan, and we're able to say what the district's doing in attempting to communicate and keep the word out there. So all you can see how involved and integrated this all is with the school district efforts. Section 4 was very interesting to me. It was a section asking us how we would use new software we would acquire as a result of getting this grant with Fidelity. I simply listed all of the various softwares we use that connect with Canvas, and which is our learning management at the secondary level, and Mastery Connect, which we're using for common formative assessments at elementary up through, and then listed those programs. And at one point in writing this part up, I said, we're out of 20 minutes in the day. The industry standard is use their program for 20 minutes a day with students, and they will learn whatever they're supposed to learn. That is not a good instructional strategy, and that's not something we're promoting. And we point that out in our plan, and we say, no, we're using tools like Mastery Connect and Canvas to inform parents and students about learning, to give them access to their learning materials, and to increase that flow, that digital workflow back and forth, so that they can really do the learning work that they need to do with fidelity. And that's our focus as a school district. Section 6, the student engagement with personalized learning, and section 7, the personalized professional personalized learning. So they want both students and teachers to be able to do a personalized learning model. The committee that met in our readiness assessment that was part of section 1 identified what we could do to increase the understanding of staff throughout the district and of the community with what personalized learning is, what it looks like, and how switching to a more digital teaching and learning model will allow students to go in the directions they need to get the learning that they need for their goals and their objectives. We outlined a 2.5-year plan of professional development for staff on personalized learning, and we've done that in a way that we will include recordings. We'll do our own flipped learning model with all of that and make it available so that we don't lose that with new staff coming in. There's always a way to sustain that personalized learning for staff as we go through the development of this model. Section 8 was the monitoring of student and teacher usage. We have a lot of good programs in place currently that monitor the management use of devices. This is asking us to do a little bit more than that and actually monitor what they're using the devices for. So as part of that that personalized learning effort and training, we'll have to work with staff and schools on how to really look at what are they using the technology for to benefit their learning, and how are they maximizing that use. And we'll have to report out on that if we follow through with all the grant requirements. Infrastructure, goods, and services is simply in Section 9, a commitment to keep up the infrastructure needed to support all of this. Our staff does a great job on building what's necessary to support the technology in the schools. We're working on our plans to update and sustain the renewal of devices at schools so that students have working devices in all of their learning settings and aren't frustrated with the device being in the way and not working. And that goes to our service model as well. We're developing plans that will help our service be more responsive to teachers' needs and be something they can depend on to get things moving so they can rely on the technology in their classrooms. Section 10 was an outline of our service model. Section 11 was the security policies and student data privacy. We have some good things in place. We will have to do some work as a district to really get our data policy up to speed so that it meets the standards required here. And then the last part was a budget. To give you an idea of the budget, this is 10% of what the school districts around the state asked for in the master technology plan for the state. It's about 1% of our current district budget for technology if we were to replace everything that we have out there now. So it's a start. It will help. It essentially is enough funding to buy the laptops that we're supplying the teachers with this year and to make sure those get renewed on a 3-year basis. But that's all this is a start. It does put us in line, though, as Superintendent Schofield mentioned, to be able to apply for other grants that are out there. One was sent to me the day after I turned this second revision in. It's a $2 million grant opportunity with Samsung, and we're looking into that and if that's something that will work with our current plans. But the effort here was to outline a comprehensive 3 to 6 year plan. Ours covers the 3 years. It can extend to the 6 years very easily of what we would do with technology in the school district, and we now have that.
All right. Did we receive anything? I thought we didn't receive anything on this grant.
This grant does not fund until December 31st.
But we did, with your second submission, it was funded?
I have not heard back the official word yet.
No.
So you're getting the presentation of what's been done so far.
Okay.
We will hear back later this week, and I'll report out at the next board meeting.
Okay.
The funding being received. But these are the types of commitments we have to make going forward to get any of these grants with the technology support. Any other questions?
No, go ahead.
That was all I had.
Okay. If you read through something and see something there you want to explore more with me, I'll make myself available. I'd love to share with you what's involved with all this. But a lot of good effort went into it.
Lisa, do you have any comments on this since you were part of this committee?
No. Just it was a very long, involved process, and Dave has put a ton of hours in on this. And it was a little frustrating when we thought we had done everything we needed to do and got it back and had to make more revisions.
Yeah, and you see in your copy the revisions that were made. So anything highlighted in gray in this copy for the board was all revisions that were requested. They had suggested I only put in a couple sentences in each of those places. I went the extra mile on that because I don't want there to be an excuse why they wouldn't fund us.
So when are we supposed to hear? In the next
We should hear in the next week.
Okay.
Yeah. That it goes to the state board, so whenever their next state board meeting is, that's when the official word will come, but I should start getting some indications from the review committees within the next week.
I attended two meetings for Lisa, and I really liked the way Dave involved committee members. I mean, there was one section that a partner and I were to write a certain section from the input that other members of the committee had worked on, and you know, I know that every single group of people spent hours on their particular section, and then Dave, of course, needed to make it so that it all sounded like it was the same person writing it and doing all the other things. And I was quite disappointed when we didn't receive received funding after all that work, but I was glad to hear that even if we don't get that grant, that this process wasn't a waste of time, that it's a plan for us to move forward as well as apply for other grants.
That's correct. Yeah. And if it doesn't fund right now, it will fund next year. When it does fund, it's a $310,000 grant over 3 years that the state allocates to us, with the intent of that increasing and continuing after the 3 years.
Okay, any other comments or questions? Frank, do you have anything to add?
Okay.
Thank you so much, Dave. We appreciate it. And as he could have told us lots and lots of information. And so appreciate that. And we know that we will be hearing a lot more about it. And Dave can give you the 3-hour version if you would like it anytime. Our next item of business is the first reading of the volunteer responsibility and expectations policy. Superintendent, why don't you lead out with this?
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
The reason we've gone to this, we have a couple of things that are going on. First of all, there have been some changes in the law regarding volunteers and their access to schools. One of them you'll see referenced in the policy is that volunteers who are going to have significant unsupervised interactions with students both have to undergo a background check and have to undergo a reference check. To show the difference between those, I've included in the definitions what we mean by background check and what we mean by reference check. A background check is a criminal background check that will be done to see if they have a criminal history. The reference check is a process of contacting a former employer. Specifically, the law states that it's done to determine whether the volunteer had any employment action or discipline taken against him or her for physical or sexual abuse of a child. So that's specifically what the law states the reference check is for. So you see that reflected in the language of the definitions there in the policy. The other thing that we want to do is clarify, as we have some of our schools using the Just Serve website. We have 4 schools that currently use that, and they all have individuals who have used that website to come in and provide volunteer services in the school. Currently, those volunteers are all working through the AmeriCorps program, so they all have a background check completed through AmeriCorps that's conducted by the university. What we want to do is clarify in our policy what expectations we would have of volunteers to make sure that we're in compliance with the law, and also so we can work with building principals to make sure that we are taking the steps to encourage volunteers to come work in the schools while also making sure we're protecting students as individuals come in. So you'll see in the, so what you'll see there is the definitions and then the policy, basically saying what a volunteer is, the things that we want them to do. We'll submit to a criminal background check if they're given significant unsupervised access to students. They will be the subject to a reference check if they are given significant unsupervised access to students. And all volunteers will be screened against the sexual offender database regardless of assignment. And then what we will do is use the following, the remaining guidelines in the policy to give direction to volunteers, provide some training, saying, you know, when you are here in the school, here are appropriate behaviors, here are things we want you to avoid. Volunteers should not share confidential information with students. You shouldn't request the student's contact information, those types of things. So the purpose for this policy is both to bring us in compliance with current legal requirements as well as give our principals some direction that will allow them to better handle some of the resources like Just Serve. Sorry, Connie, you had.
Who pays for the background check?
The background check is paid for by the individual.
Okay.
And so how much is that, say, for a volunteer background check?
Well, that's one of the reasons why we generally don't let volunteers have significant unsupervised access, because I believe right now it's $42.
So for someone who wanted to be an assistant coach, say, and possibly
they pay for the background check
because they have significant responsibilities with kids. Plus, I know of at least one assistant coach who does drive students to tennis matches.
So we do what we do with our coaches and with our volunteers who do have potentially significant unsupervised access, and that's the language we'll keep using. They do have to have the wrap back background check. The difference between that and the background checks we did previously is the wrap back is an ongoing background check. It's through the FBI. So if we have an employee and they had a clean background check and then something happens that puts a ping on their record, we are notified of that when it happens. So the wrap back process is an ongoing process, which is why there's the higher cost than there was previously.
I just had one question. I know previously as I've went and helped kids read, and we'd go out in the hallway to read to them. You know, we'd be with them for half an hour or so. And then I know, say, when I was up to Wilson, there was a gentleman doing that. Is that still considered under the supervision of the teacher, and even though you're not in the room? How would that fall? I had a question on that.
It's a great question. And a lot of our principals have asked that question. The guidance that we're giving is the volunteer has to be visible by the teacher. So if they are sitting in the doorway and the employee is able to monitor what's going on, that's fine. If they're out in the hallways around the corner and they aren't monitored, that's unsupervised access to the students. So we have been having discussions with the principals about, okay, how do you work with your teachers to help them put structures in the classroom that still allow a volunteer to come and read with a child and have it be an appropriate setting.
Otherwise, you'd need to get a background.
Otherwise, you need to get the background check.
Okay.
So this has come up, for example, with PTA volunteers for field trips.
Yeah.
And the thing we keep going back to is unsupervised access. If you're going on a field trip to the zoo and you're going to have a parent volunteer who's going to have a group of students by themselves, then those people have to have a background check.
And that was one of my questions is, are PTA volunteers, I think about when I was a PTA president and I was in the school all the time, and would the PTA's liability be covering that, just as, I guess, we're always responsible?
Right. We're always responsible. So what we've been working, and as I've met with the council PTA, And with the presidents from each school, we've been going back to the unsupervised access and saying, if you as a PTA president are planning on having, you know, unsupervised time with students, then you probably want to consider this. And a number of our PTA presidents have chosen to get a background check done. Others, they've just worked with their principals and said, you know what, we're going to make sure that the PTA and the school are always working together so we don't have volunteers who are unsupervised with students.
So I guess it'll come under, let's just say I wanted to go volunteer and I go up there to help a child read. Will they let me know when I get there, the teachers say, sorry, you can't do that today, you need to get a background check? I just wonder, how do we get that out to the public so they know that? You know, that's probably the only thing I see, because I'd hate to see the frustration of somebody that wants to go and help and they're just going to read to a child and yet get there and maybe frustrated and, you know, sometimes they might not come back. So that they know ahead of time, maybe when they call or I don't know.
So what we're going to, that's a great point. If you look at 5.1 under procedures, it says volunteers will complete the Logan City District Agreement for Voluntary Services before volunteering in district schools. Okay. We'll have a one-page document that will have the guidelines for volunteers as a little mini training. We'll have a place for them to sign that they understand those, to fill it out, and it will have on there that you understand if you're going to have unsupervised access to students, you're going to need to have a background check.
Can't it just be any access to students also? I mean, supervised or unsupervised, if you have a criminal background, you don't want either one.
No, but the majority of our individuals who want to volunteer don't have a criminal background, and if we require the background check, the full wrap-back background check for any volunteers, that's telling, you know, Kendra, when she wants to go into Malia's classroom to read, she has to pay $42 to get a background check. Mm-hmm. We'd be requiring parents to get these background checks just to come into the classroom and read as part of the group. That strikes us as an onerous burden.
Like when I go to Adams, I take the kids into the hall, out of sight from the teacher.
And there, because you've had the full background check,
that would be
appropriate.
I did pass it. Yeah.
So that's something we're working on with the principals. We've had a number of discussions
and
about that.
And teachers need to have that discussion.
And teachers will
be
having that with the principals, so we don't
put volunteers
in uncomfortable
positions. Because that's not uncommon when you go to help to read that you go out in the hall.
Didn't we talk about being on the board that we had to have a background check?
Well, from what we understand, the three of you have had them and we haven't. The two of us haven't. So
no.
I would suggest I was going to. I'm going to go and pay my money so that I'm a, but you know, 20 years ago they didn't require that, but I'm going to rig up and make sure that I have one. And I also need to take the driver's, what is it, training?
Oh, the risk management.
The risk management driver's thing if I want to be reimbursed for any of my travel money. So that's another thing we all should do. If we drive our own vehicle to get reimbursement for that, supposedly we should take the defensive driver course from risk management.
Well, I had to do my background check to renew my license, so it just came together.
I don't know, is that trusting?
So you can see there were some changes made on this version in the red that was added by just in this update of board book that includes that change. We don't want to have volunteers not feel welcome, but we also want to have an organized way to have them come, and perhaps in that we can get our schools to maybe make a little volunteer packet about, you know, when you come, you check in at the school, at the office, you get your little pass that you carry and some of those things. And I think it would be really nice for volunteers to know that, because I know a couple of times when I had young children and changed schools, a teacher would say, hey, come volunteer, and I wasn't quite sure how to do it. And I think it actually will help us in the long run maybe welcome our volunteers a bit better, as well as protect our students. So are there any changes that any of you have to draft two of this policy? that you'd like to make before to go for the second reading?
I'd make a motion with these revisions that we approve this policy.
Okay, we usually try to do a second reading on policies, but you feel like with...
Well, if I don't see any changes that need to be made myself.
And we need to get it out there in the schools.
I
agree. If everybody feels the same way, we could pass it on the first reading.
Have a second.
Okay, the motion's been made to pass it on the first reading at, with by Lynn, with a second by Connie. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? We welcome Christy. We're glad you got done with counting. And I definitely wore the wrong color today. I didn't wear my black jacket, but we are glad to have you with us.
Thank you. I have a quick question. I'm not sure if you discussed that with the LDS Church's new Just Serve program. Is that a conversation we might want to have before they put on? Because when I noticed there are three or four schools of ours that had something listed on there, and they may... We may need to have conversation with principals before they put that on their the requirements with the volunteer.
We had conversations with principals this morning. The four that are on there, currently those opportunities go through AmeriCorps. So you see they all state that the volunteers will have to participate in a background check through AmeriCorps, and that's paid by AmeriCorps. So what we told the principals this morning is we told them we were working on this policy. We were going to be taking it to the board. That until we had further guidelines, the only thing we would do through Just Serve at this point was anything that would be through AmeriCorps, so the background check would be taken care of that way. Moving forward, we said we will have some additional guidelines for you once policy is approved, but also any request to put information on Just Serve will have to be approved through my office. Because now it's a branding issue. It's making sure that we have a consistent message coming out from all of the schools that reflects the needs and the interests of the district. So that's a great point.
There are lots of people that want to volunteer, and we don't want to discourage them in any way, but
correct.
It opens up another box.
Yeah, and that's why last week we had the discussion in our director's meeting about it, and then we visited with the principals about it this morning, waiting until we have a better policy in place.
Okay.
And so we'll come up with that form almost immediately, and we'll get this up, and it will be something that we can move right ahead since we didn't move it to a second reading. All right, our next item is action to rescind old policy. Superintendent.
You'll see one of the policies that we currently have online is policy LKAA is the code. It's association leave. The law stipulates that we have a policy governing association leave if we allow for association leave. The law has had a couple of changes put in place that make this a little bit problematic, and you see I've included one line from the law there on the action sheet. Except as provided in subsection 3, a local school board may not allow paid association leave for a school district employee to perform an employee association or union duty. What the law does is it limits the use of association leave essentially to participation on committees. It could not be used, for example, if you had a teacher at one of the schools who had a meeting with their principal to discuss corrective discipline or discuss their evaluation, and that teacher wanted a member of their association leadership to attend with them. We could not pay for the, let's say the association president was at the middle school, we would not be able to pay for a sub to cover the cost or to cover that teacher's class so the association leader could go accompany the teacher to the meeting. The law specifically prohibits that type of leave and that type of action now. So the only things we could do would be allow association leave for participation on some type of committee. Well, everything that we've done with committees, we either do them outside of school hours or we count it as school business leave. So we do not use association leave for any of the activities that the law would allow association leave to be used for. So because of that, because we use school business leave for those activities, and we can put language in our leave definitions to clarify that, my recommendation would be that we rescind this policy because it doesn't align with the current legal guidelines.
Our practice has pretty much rescinded it for as long as I can remember. Once the legislation was passed, it was never called association leave again. It was school business, if it indeed was school business. I, you know, mentioned it in OTA, and I thought this was gone a long, long time ago.
And there are many things, even as we look at negotiations, because that is something that affects our functioning as a district, we would classify it as school business. It's not strictly association leave.
But we wouldn't, association leave would be to go lobby for whatever that was totally association. And as we know, we have a legislature who is concerned about union labor unions, especially to get one of their colleagues out of office, is one of their concerns. I know, and they feel it's it's an inappropriate way to use state funds, and so you can understand that. And so that's one of the reasons it was there. So we would need, our recommendation is that that be rescinded, that we rescind that policy. Is there any discussion on that? Is there a motion?
I'd make a motion that we rescind the association leave policy.
All right, it's been moved. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right, it's been moved by Lynn Hobbs and seconded by Christy Cooley.
I have a question.
Okay, is there any discussion?
The question is that, you know, I think it has to be rescinded because it's against the law to have it that way, and it is also known our practice. But could we put a tag along with it that in rescinding it, we will rewrite?
Actually, I had rewritten one.
Okay.
I had rewritten a policy and spent some time on it. And then as it was reviewed, it was, we currently do not have any practices that we allow what is termed association leave. So there's no reason to have a form for someone to fill out that we have to monitor, because that is currently not allowed in current practice. Correct, Superintendent?
So what I think I understand, if I'm hearing right, is that we look at our, for example, our definitions of school business leave, et cetera, and we could put a clarification in there that involvement of association leadership in activities such as negotiations, et cetera, would be considered business leave.
You would be correct.
If that's what I'm understanding, that's something that we can look at in the policy and negotiated agreement and see what that would do. I think we can take that into consideration.
And that might be a better place for it in the negotiated agreement rather than in our policy, because in some ways, if we had a legislative audit, they might consider that we were
formal notation somewhere that is the expectation is that piece of business, that item of business will be taken to the negotiating team or whatever you want to call the groupettes.
We'll probably look at continued as part of our policy revisions first and identify what's the best place to put
now.
It.
You know, you've got,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's one reason why, and it was written very much for the Logan Education Association.
Right, now we've got
and when you start using the different associations and you need to pull one of each of them for different things, it really changes that business quite a bit from just having the association doing things. So the motion, is there any other discussion on it? The motion was to rescind the policy that is on the books regarding association leave. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Our next item is not an action item. It is a discussion item on our budget. Jeff Barbin.
Well, I'm afraid we've got, you know, some bad news, and wanted to make sure the board was aware of that. Our student count this year, our October 1 student count came in about 238 students less than last year. The impact on our budget is going to be about $900,000 in the money that we get from the state. When we include the federal in that, it's probably going to be close to $1 million that we're looking at a shortfall, just because we've lost that many students. And so just wanted to make you aware of that. The superintendent and I have had discussions. We've had discussions with the directors and looking at ways that we can somehow work that into the budget and see things that we need to do. So we'll have discussions with the board as we go forward, but we felt like that was important that you were aware of that, and that's something that is a significant amount of money that we're going to have to figure out how we're going to work that out. And you know, it's for this year, we'll be okay, but for next year we're looking at a $1 million shortfall. And so anyway, that's significant that we wanted you to be aware of that. Are there any questions about that or anything that I can answer?
I think the questions are what we do to go forward and that we're all looking at. I think we've had it explained very reasonably about what happened, and
yeah,
and we're working at how do we deal with that situation. That's where the questions are, and those questions don't have a lot of answers yet.
Yeah, and you know, we're looking at resources that we have, and you know, as we get the audit report in our next meeting, that will show us some of the resources that we may be able to look at. But you know, the superintendent and I have been very active trying to look at that and try to make plans to see what we can do to get through that.
Frank, do you have anything to add to that?
Jessa, we really wanted you to know as soon as we had the information kind of where we're at. This is us wanting to give you the information and be upfront with it. As you know, our agenda is created, you know, a week in advance. There is an article, I spoke with the newspaper today, it'll probably come out tomorrow or the day after, where they're looking at the enrollment reports that were released by the state, and they were looking at, you know, the enrollment reports for Logan and Cash, and they were asking about, you know, increases and decreases. We actually got to train our education reporter a little bit on which reports to read, which ones to look at to make sure the article was as accurate as possible. But the information is going to be out there. And last week, Jeff and I decided we wanted you all as a board to have this in advance, so we can start having discussions about, okay, how do we move forward from this and make sure that we're able to address the issues in a way that it works and allows us to keep moving forward as an organization. So as Jeff said, we will continue to share information with you, have some more sit-downs with you, so you have an opportunity to understand kind of where the numbers are and what some of the options are moving forward, so you can help us make the decisions that we need to make.
Right. Next, we are two reports. Our report from board members. Lisa.
Okay. I was able to go over and attend the breakfast at Hillcrest and had a good visit with the orchestra program that was practicing there that morning during the breakfast. They're pretty impressive what they can get those kids playing in the amount of time they have them. Janice and her staff, she had a lot of parent volunteers over there that were helping with the orchestra program. And I think with our new direction with joining with Mountain Strings, that I think we're moving in a good direction in solving some of the problems that we were having with the orchestra. And I think it can continue to move forward and grow at this point. So I also attended the Veterans Day Assembly over there, and the beginning of the program, the whole student body sang the Star Spangled Banner, and it was really touching. And then they had anybody who had a vet visiting with them, they escorted them to the stage and gave them a rose, and it was a great presentation. It was very moving. And then continuing on with Planning Commission, 2 weeks ago I had been there and presented our resolution from the board, and the Planning Commission was very split on approving the NR4 down zone, and
it was frustrating.
It was very frustrating, and so they tabled it for 2 weeks, and we came back, and a couple of the members had gone and done some research of what NR6 developments actually look like, and once they saw what they actually look like, they decided that what are currently labeled NR6 in our community aren't really NR6, that they really are NR4s. Then, without a whole lot of discussion, they unanimously recommended to the city council that they should downzone to NR4 in those areas that we're looking at. So we still, it's not totally approved yet. It still has to go before the city council, but the Planning Commission unanimously approved the suggestions that were on the table.
Wonderful.
So,
thank you, Lisa. Christy, we know what you've been doing.
I'm grateful for the board's patience. I'm grateful that my over full-time job is very temporary, so it's nice to be getting winding down with that. So I appreciate, and I've missed being with you. I just have a few things. I really enjoyed the legislative lunch. It was interesting to me to talk with our outgoing representative, and he had a couple of big visions, and I thought, well, too late. You should have put those visions in long ago. But it was nice to be able to, I was with Jack Draxler, and it was nice to be able to at least meet with our associates in Cash and to visit with them and to at least exchange information and knowledge with our legislators. I really did enjoy that. So thank you very much, Board Stacy, for putting that together. And Ann, I'm sure you worked on that as well. My sister owns a clothing or a floral and gift, owned a floral and gift shop in Idaho, and she closed that down recently. And she and I had the opportunity of taking all of her leftover stuff to Ellis, and where Kathy Sherman is going to be using that for children who are in ESL classes who don't often have a chance to buy their parents Christmas presents. And so she uses it for she has an incentive program that she comes up with, and then the kids get to come in the week before the holidays and choose something for their parent. Then they wrap it up and take it home. So it was kind of fun to be able to take some of those things that were kind of useless to us and kind of useless to her, and really made a difference for Kathy. She does a great job with that. So we took over 5 or 6 huge boxes of, you know, brand new merchandise for those kids to have for their Christmas or their holiday. So that was really fun. And we also took a Suburban and a trailer full of, you know, clothing for her clothing drive coming up. So that was really fun to be able to at least help out. Jeff and I are working a little bit with the city on the First South issue with Logan High. We all know my term for that is the very expensive road to know. And we've met with Mark and Jetty, and I think we're kind of making headway. Our goal is to be able to get First South to, we hope, 15, posted at 15 miles an hour, all day during school with flashing lights, so that the speed limit would be reduced and you would have to have that treated as a school zone the entire day. So that's our eventual goal. We'll see if that actually happens. So
what do you think?
I think it's leaning towards the positive. You know, we've had some really good meetings with Jetty and Mark, and I think that they understand their liability and their risk involved in that street, and I really feel like that I'm going to be optimistic and hope that they're going to pull out with us and really help us out. I don't think it's a problem of getting it posted as much as who's going to pay for it. And so I really feel like that that's something that they should be accountable for, because they need to have some kind of ownership, because it is their street. It's not our street. We tried to get it to be our street, and they told us no. So I think we'll get there. So, and of course, I missed out on the construction tour today, so things are progressing well, and it's just beautiful. Every single time we walk in there, it's just even more lovely. So that's all I have, Ann.
All right. Thank you, Christy. We appreciate that you also have been involved in the election process and making sure that it all runs well.
It's a fascinating process, and it's really been, I think the great thing about it, and I've talked to hundreds of voters about it, is that it's changed the dynamics of talking at polls with your poll worker and your neighbors about what you ate for dinner and the weather, to turning it to tableside conversations with families and talking about what the issues really are on the ballot. So there's still conversation happening. It's just switched from one venue to another, and I really feel like that having ballots sent in the mail, even though I understand that, you know, everyone didn't get one, I think our voters will be more aware that that's the future of voting for now. And I think it's good, and I'm excited to. I kind of have a soft number on the voter turnout, but that would be inappropriate for me to say what it is. But I'm really excited for the the voter turnout, and I really feel like the voters of Cache Valley really came out, supported, and voted, and I think everybody was surprisingly impressed with our percentage of voter turnout. So
great. That's really good. Thank you.
See. No, I'm so glad you're working with the Planning Commission and when you're talking about that area. I felt like I went through the black hole of apartment city when just walking, you know, when you walk through your neighborhood. And this, that whole section over there on 10th North to the south east, okay, it's like
all apartments.
Holy cow.
To the road. Road.
Right. You look at it from Google, and first of all, you see the giant hole where the other big cement building is going to be on the corner, and then on down and on down, and I just think of the difference in just the last 4 years. And there aren't any children. They're not families. Just a remark, I have no idea what's going on, but it's something I'm going to look into, and whether or not it amounts to anything I can bring back and say, I have no idea. I do thank Christy for working really hard on getting that zone lowered.
That's Lisa.
Lisa, no, you're lowering the zone.
No.
To 515 miles an hour.
Yes.
So, Lisa, thank you for whatever zone you're working on. You're working on the planning board. I went to Reflections, and that's always a delight. Shaking the hands of little tiny kids and the middle schoolers and, you know, celebrating the arts, the writing and the music, and the lovely young lady singing her own creation. A cappella, how brave, you know, to stand up there with everyone. The art that they had made it a montage there, and it went all over. So we got to see everybody's presentations, you know, at the middle school also. And then the music during one portion was the winner of the middle school composition, which was very, very nice. But you just you have to get really low down and shake their little hands. And it's like, who are these crazy old people I'm shaking hands with here, you know, and they're holding all their papers. But just so proud to be a part of that arts. Okay. One of the things I wanted to do, and especially because it's a shorter meeting, yes, I bring up something because I've heard from teachers lately, and it comes and goes, and it comes and goes with myself too. And that is, you know, data, 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 and lines of evidence and things like that. We seem to find ourselves sometimes, I think, just stuck looking at numbers. But I think, and I would hope that all of us know that, you know, behind every one of those numbers that gets flashed up there, there's a little face attached to that, okay? And sometimes our teachers begin to feel like the only thing that matters is what numbers have you produced, as opposed to those of us who, and I'm sure those of you who haven't been in the classroom, I would hope that you know that people talk about there's a soul to education, okay? And when one time when there was a lot of accountability starting, one teacher, Janice Warr, a long time ago, she said, when you go down and talk to the legislators, please tell them not to take the soul out of teaching, okay? And it was something Allison Dunn had said also. And when we practice so much on data, I hit data, and I also say make database decisions. What I asked to do is that I'm going to just read a note that was written to Mr. So, because there's another kind of data that students keep and parents keep and we need to keep also. Said Mr. So, I asked if I could please have this. I just wanted to thank you and listen to the data points that are here, because this is what's on the face of all those numbers up there. I just wanted to thank you for the time and effort, teachers' time and effort, that you put into not only helping the rest of the class, but especially me in APUS. It may not show on my score, but I came out of your class as a better student. It was hard to see that I got only a 2 today, but I guess it wasn't meant to be this year. I want you to know that I'm not taking your class as a waste of time or that I took it without meaning, because I promise I gained not only knowledge, but life skills as well that I can use and apply for the rest of my life. You helped me see the potential within myself and helped ignite a flame to push myself and work even harder. So I just wanted to thank you for that and let you know I'm definitely looking forward to AP Government next year. I'm going to start off the year and end it proudly with the Eye of the Tiger. Thanks, self. Hope you had a great summer. That's the soul of teaching, okay? That's the face on all those numbers that we see all the time. And I think that we really have to make sure that we let our teachers know that that's how we see them. We see them as professionals, and we see them as people who are out there making our students, everything that we say in our mission statement, being able to be contributing members of society. And that's always not translated into a 1, 2, 3, or 4. So, and I thank Jason very much for letting me take this. Thank you.
Thank you, Connie. Lynn.
Thanks, Connie. I thought that was very appropriate for tonight. The only thing I always want to share is also the appreciation of our legislative luncheon. I like the flavor that we had this time, that we didn't focus on finances. I mean, I know on our table we had a very great discussion on items that wasn't tied to finances, and I just think it was a very positive meeting. I think it's one of the best we've had in all the times that I've been going to these. It was very good. So I just want you to know how much I really appreciated it.
Yes, it was, as we talked about, how should we do this meeting, because we've sure seen a lot of different ways of doing it over the years. One of the things we talked about is we already know the answers from at least one of our legislators about funding. We've heard the same answer. Even as long as I was PTA as well. That exact same, you know, there is no money and you'd say you need it, but what about social services? We could give the speech. And so by saying you know that money would help us, let's talk about the language items, kind of like we do when we are in association, you know, negotiations. It was interesting how it turned, you know, the defensiveness just went away, and pretty soon they were bringing up funding issues. I sat with our new representative, and of course my mind has just gone blank.
Val Potter,
who is my new representative, will be in January. And it was very good to sit with him and the people who were with him. It was a good table. We kind of planned it that way and talked to him about how he can find out about our schools and our school needs and what's the best way to communicate with him. It was interesting. You know, we said, well, I'd like to visit the schools I represent. And I tried to say, well, yes, Bridger, you represent part of Ellis, but you represent all of the schools in the state, not just those in Cache Valley either. And if you can understand what's happening in all of Cache Valley, but yeah, let's get you down to Bridger. But if you can understand all of the schools and the different needs in, and if you want to look at just the schools you represent, boy, there are differences in, say, Lewiston and Bridger Elementary. But I tried to get that pitch of, well, you know, you also need to go to Mount Logan Middle School then. And you need to, because people who vote or don't vote for you, their children go there. And people who vote or don't vote for you work there. So it was a really good discussion to have with him and to talk about our relationship in the future. And so it was a nice way to do it. It was fun to go to the flu clinic that Kelly runs. And, you know, she had every kind of shot available through the health department. I watched
them work with some children. Some of our employees brought their children who were scared to death, and there were a few employees who were scared to death. And to see how they worked with them and good things that happened. I had some really good discussions with some educators sitting in this room as their children were getting shots. Also, that our community council training that same night worked well, and thank you, Dave, for running that meeting. We had some misunderstandings about the start of the meeting, but we were so pleasantly surprised with the number of people who showed up to that training. I had to go out and make more copies, and that was so exciting to have more bodies there. Appreciate those of you who were at the meeting and the times we were able to speak with principals and members of community councils. That was a good meeting, and I thank you for coming, and thank Dave for running it. I attended the CTE advisory committee. I really liked the way Dave Long ran that. It was different than we've sometimes done, where people have come and said, this is what we do, rah, rah, rah. Instead, it was, what can we do better? We had a major discussion. We had a representative that, of Pathways, but she's employed out of BATC. And we ended up with a discussion. We only got through like a fifth of her presentation because we started having discussions, and it was great to hear a Mount Logan Middle School teacher say, we need to work with the high school to develop these pathways. What are we doing? And teachers saying, what are we doing to move more students to Bridgerland and to complete these pathways? And we talked about that when there was the banquet last year, I know Kira received an award, that many students didn't know they had completed a pathway. And it was really great to hear teachers, not Dave say, you got to do a better job of this, but to hear teachers bring up, we need to do a better job of this. How can we do it? How can we coordinate? And as we apologized to the guest, she said, oh, this was one of the most productive meetings I've ever been to. I would love to come back, and we'll continue on with this discussion. So it was really exciting, and especially with my role on the BATC board, it was exciting to see how our district is getting excited about completing pathways, having classes in our system that then coordinate with BATC, that then can also coordinate with USU, and that we get that great pathway for our students. So that was a very good meeting. I want to thank the superintendent for the emails he sent this past week. First of all, to our staff members, and then to parents, talking about let's not have harassment for students, whether it's the color of their skin or the way they voted or the way someone perceives where their country of origin is or where someone perceives how they or their parents voted, and that increase in understanding. I was very touched by those emails, Superintendent, and I'm glad it came out in the newspaper, and I think it's a discussion that civility, that what we need to talk about in civics, that it's something that we as a school district can model and can help students realize there's a better way, and that's the way to move into the future. So I really appreciate your work on that, Superintendent, and I know the rest of the board does as well. Jeff, what do you have for us tonight?
Just quickly, I appreciate the legislative luncheon as well. It was nice not to talk about finances for once with those guys. But it was a little more relaxing for me. So I appreciate the way that was set up. I thought that was done very well, and I know that our staff had a part to play in that, and so I thought that was really good. I want to thank all of you who helped at Hillcrest and Ellis with the breakfast that we had. I thought those went really well, and it's nice to be able to get out. I had to miss part of that to go to a Trustlands meeting, and so... But that's been a fun activity, and so I appreciate all the help that we're getting with that. Also went to lunch at Bridger. You know, one of the elementary schools usually asks the district office to come over for kind of a Thanksgiving luncheon, and sometime in November, and so this year it was Bridger, and that was just a neat experience. They have some of the students escort us in and, you know, take us through the lunch line, sit down with us, and it's fun to chat with the kids, and it was a really good lunch. It was really a neat experience. Went to our UASBO fall training. Some good budget news. Utah Retirement Systems, the rate is going to stay the same.
Yay! So, like they do at the elementary school.
As high as that rate is, I guess it's not great news, but at least there are no plans to raise that for next year, so that was good. Also, David Damson, the state treasurer, spoke about, you know, all the different fraud and phishing and things that are going on, and there was actually, I forget which county, but one of the counties, I think their treasurer got caught on one that actually all of the school districts that I know of got hit with that, the same thing, and they're getting more sophisticated. They sent us something that's, you know, from the superintendent to the accountant that said, hey, I need this wire transfer sent, you know, I'm out of the office today, but it needs to be in today. Can you send that to this, you know what I mean? And we're close enough that Adam was just, you know, Frank wouldn't send me something like this and pick right up on it. But there was, I think it was the treasurer at one of the counties that, you know, their mayor or whoever it was happened to be out of town. And so he thought, oh, well, it must be from him. And he's, it was $38,000 that he sent to this wire transfer. Had to say goodbye to the money. So those kind of things are happening, and they're getting more sophisticated. They actually use names, and I mean, they make it look very legitimate. So anyway, but I also wanted to recognize Stacy and Tracy. They, with the Bear Hugs program, everything that they're doing, they spent a lot of time over at the high school trying to sell tickets to this dodgeball game. And it didn't look like it was going to turn out very well for quite a while, and they still put in quite a bit of time with that. And it happened on Halloween, and so we went down there, and you know, what a great experience that was to watch. You know, they had that, the rec center was, that main gym in the rec center was just completely full almost. I mean, up to the top, and the students were just cheering, and they finally did. They finally beat the faculty in one game, and there was... They really let out a cheer, but I just thought it was such a great team-building exercise for the students and the faculty down there, and I just wanted to recognize Stacy and Tracy for that. I think it was actually the principal's idea, wasn't it? But, you know, they just really put in a great effort to make that, to be able to pull that off, and went down and watched for a few minutes, and that was just a great activity. It was really neat.
Superintendent.
Well, I just wanted to kind of fill you all in on some of the positive things that have happened as a result of the messages that went out regarding treatment of students and community members. Since that went out, we received a number of phone calls from parents asking what they can do, what conversations can they have with their children, parents who work at the university offering to visit with their departments, to work on, you know, individuals who have expertise in community outreach to discuss how we can involve university students in communicating with parents, getting the word out to continue to build that sense of community that we hope all parents and all students have who attend our schools. I've received emails from teachers as they've talked about conversations that they've had and positive things that they're doing in their classrooms to help students move past some of the negativity of the last week and feel comfortable and safe at school. And we had a good start of a conversation with our principals this morning as we discussed it. I've given them an article to read before our next meeting. We're going to talk about building cultural competence and the difference between cultural competence and tolerance. And There is a difference, and cultural competence involves a process of questioning how we engage with people from different backgrounds and with different ideas from ours and how we do so successfully. And our principals were extremely open to that. They were very positive, and they're willing to take these back to their staffs and talk about what are the things we can continue to do and in some cases do more of in our schools to make sure that all students, regardless of their economic, ethnic, religious background or whatever, feel that they have an equal opportunity and are equally cared for and are an equal part of our school communities. So I made a comment to the paper when they interviewed me about this. The reporter asked, do you think this is something that's going to be a major ongoing problem? And I stated, you know, my experience with the people of Cache Valley is when they become aware of a problem, they identify ways to fix it and they take action. And I have been very grateful and pleased over the last 5 days to see exactly that, and to see our parents, our teachers, our students, and our administrators all responding in ways to make sure that our district is characterized by compassion and care and inclusion and helping all of our students succeed. So that, I think, is just what I want to say, just to celebrate what all of our staff members and our community members are doing to promote that, because that is part of what makes Logan City School District a community and not just an organization. So.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Superintendent.
May I make a statement, Joe?
Yes.
I would like to say thank you, Frank, for the way you communicated with the newspaper. I think, you know, Ann has already said that, too. And I think that the teachers that were all interviewed, their comments were excellent. They really were. I think that I would also like to compliment our person who's reporting on the news, because I think it's been very non-biased. There's not been an attempt to kind of catch some icky story going on. I think it's been, you know, very straightforward and positive. So I think Sean Dolan has done a nice job, too. But thank you. I thought that you all were really articulate. Thank you.
All right. There are just a couple of things I wanted to mention. And one is, well, we need to go to our calendar items. Thursday we will be having our Wilson breakfast, and we should be there at 7:15 ready to serve. It will be in the faculty room. Go in the main door to get in. That's always the big trick, is where do you go? What door is open? And those are fun, and it was interesting. One of the things that Sue asked that we do today was that we talk with the teachers, that we visit with the teachers. It's really easy to just kind of talk among ourselves, but she feels it would be really important if we would reach out and talk with the teachers. And, of course, and other staff members. Of course, Sue is a champion at helping her staff members feel like a family, and she's really wanting them to understand what we do and how much we care about them. Also, you see the others, basically that's all we have on the breakfast schedule. We do know that the musical is this Friday and Saturday, Monday and Tuesday, and we will be getting information about all of the events for December. We know we always have a quiver full of those, and the sooner we can know about them, the better. I also attended a Veterans Day program, and, you know, those little kids singing their hearts out, and I had a man standing in front of me who served in World War II, and when they played his song, he stood up and he and his wife just bawled the whole time. And then, of course, I did. And just, it's just so neat to have that kind of recognition happen and have our students recognized. So I just so appreciate that we do that.
Well, and the students were so excited to have their person they got to escort.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was meaningful to the students.
Well, and I thought of that today as I visited at Wilson and went in Kelly Marchant's classroom, because Kelly served two tours of duty. And he, you know, he's the kind of soldier you would like all soldiers to grow up to be, because just that kind man who actually did, for some of you don't know it,
the one's tour of duty, he did a sabbatical and actually did interaction with a school over there and helped them and took supplies and other things. So we have some amazing people who have served from our school community as well. I think we need to recognize. So we will get that information to you. Yes, you do your calendar items, and then I'll do one last item.
Just a couple we got from the principals today at our meeting. The 17th is going to be an extremely busy day. We have a number of schools that are taking students up to a women's basketball game up at Utah State as one of their reward activities. They were able to get in there for a discounted price. Yes, so this will be on the 17th. Also, Woodruff has a team that is going to participate in the Connects competition out of Bridgerland at 1:30 p.m. this Thursday.
Okay.
Connects is it's similar to a Lego League robotics programming competition. So they build little robots out of things that are similar to Legos, and they program them to perform tasks.
Do you know where at BATC I do not know
where that's going
to be. I will find that out from my BATC connections.
The 17th, so it's this Thursday, the 17th at 1:30 p.m.
1:30, okay.
Oh, in the northwest, the west?
That's where they set up the
arenas. Okay, so in the big multipurpose area. So go to the west campus that's down on 10th West if you go.
Also, just planning ahead, Wilson Elementary is going to have their orchestra concert on December 8th at 8:30 a.m. So if you'd like to attend that. And then, of course, the musical this weekend. I will email them. I just wanted to make sure that there were a couple that you knew about. Of course, the musical this weekend and the elementary school matinee is going to be on the 17th at 9:15 a.m. So if you want to go watch it with a whole bunch of elementary school kids, that might be kind of fun.
Okay, yeah.
And do that. So, and then, of course, you all have received invitations to attend the training with Mike Matos on the 30th. We've included you in the count and ordered lunches for you, so we look forward to having you there with us on the 30th.
Is that all day?
Yes, that will be all day.
So what time does it start?
Teresa, we're starting at 8 or 9? 8 o'clock, right? 8 a.m.
The Mike Mattis. And has Jenny been invited to that?
Yes.
One item I want to do is congratulate Jenny Johnson for being elected to represent our Wilson area. And Connie for being reelected, winning her reelection campaign in Adams. And we're excited, Jenny, to have you. Yes, and I'm on again. And we're excited to work with Jenny and, of course, Connie again. And I think we will be the first all-woman. Is there another one in the state?
Murray.
Murray has. And Murray is very similar to Logan. So we join.
Just so that you know, you have to say that's a soft congratulations because final results will be done till November.
Final 22nd. Results aren't done yet, and so things could still
November
change because you have 3,000. You have 3,000 votes, right?
I'm not going to say how many we have, but final results aren't done till.
It November was reported 22nd. In the newspaper that there were still 3,000 absentee ballots to. So we can say that one. It hadn't been recorded yet.
So can we give ourselves a nickname or something cool like Power Girls or what?
You may come up with a list of names and we'll tell you which ones we think are appropriate to be used, okay?
I think we're going to be recognized.
Yes.
Yeah. So when she said Power Girls, it reminded me of Power School. I called the USBA just to make sure. They said that I'm completed with 4 year with the MBA, with the fourth year of the MBA program, that Anne is completed her fourth year. Frank is almost completed with his second year. Lisa's completed her second year, which she's been on the board for 2 years, so she's done. But the rest of you only have your third year completed. And so.
Well, the thing is, they completed a fourth year, but they took them back to third year because they're redoing their fourth year. So if you haven't finished this year's MBA, please do so, and And we have learned that they should be sending you an email when you are complete. And if you don't get one when you should be complete, call them like Jeff did today, because sometimes it gets messed up.
It does. And so, yeah, if there's any discrepancies in what you have in your records compared to what they have, call them and straighten that out. But I just wanted to, that reminded me when you said Power Girls of Power School. So. Good.
Okay. Also, if any of you would like to order Logan High T-shirts that are the Centennial T-shirts that are a PTA fundraiser, I have a couple of forms here.
How do we get a shirt like the one that every single person in the district got? How can we get another one?
You talk to Shanna, and she probably has you make a wonderful donation to the foundation, and she might have another one for you. Right. All right. Appreciate all of you and all that you do. We have a great school district, and I am just so pleased to be part of our school district. And we will see you in 2 weeks. It's the fifth Tuesday we're meeting, so it won't be the week of Thanksgiving like we did last year, and no one wanted to come to our Tuesday night meeting with no school on Wednesday. So we will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you for all you do.
Well, I am going to be doing Thanksgiving serving somebody somewhere. I'm not sure where. Everybody's going to be gone.
We are going to have anyone, and so we are inviting students who can't go home for Thanksgiving. We'll have them to our house this year.